Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram weekend edition for Saturday, August 19th, 2023. Crude snaps streak, economic worries grow. Crude prices snapped their weeks-long winning streak, weighed down by the prospect of more interest rate hikes and continued gloomy economic news from China. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange fell 3 of 5 days, beginning with a 68-cent drop Monday, followed another $1.52 fall Tuesday, and $1.61 drop Wednesday that sent prices below $80 a barrel. Prices then regained their footing, rising $1.01 Thursday and another 86 cents Friday, to end the week at $81.25, down from $83.19 at last Friday's close. The posted price ended the week at $77.73, according to Plains All American. Natural gas prices fell 3 of 5 trading days on the NYMEX, with Henry Hub futures starting the week with a 2.5-cent rise. Prices then sank 13.6 cents Tuesday and an additional 6.7 cents Wednesday, before gaining 3 cents Thursday. Prices closed the week by falling 7 cents to $2.551 per MCF, down from $2.770 at last Friday's close. Quote, "The oil price rally that has been in place since June has ended," end quote. Edward Moya, senior market analyst, The Americas with Oanda, wrote in his daily newsletter, quote, "Energy traders will focus on the latest problems from China, the global flash PMIs, the Jackson Hole Symposium, and the BRICS summit," end quote. Moya went on to write, quote, "After having an interrupted rally from $68 to $84, WTI crude looks poised to consolidate around the $80 region as traders grapple with a tight market that is facing headwinds from the world's two largest economies. Following the Jackson Hole gathering, it will be clear if the bond market sell-off continues or cools down. If the global economic outlook becomes even more pessimistic, oil might give up a good portion of the recent rally," end quote. Turning to natural gas, Moya noted that natural gas prices, quote, "remain fixated over strike action at the LNG facility in Australia. Fresh talks between Woodside Energy and union officials are expected to begin on August 23rd. Natural gas will remain volatile until we have a handle on how gas availability will be for the winter," end quote. Seasonal trends increase jobless rate to 2.9%. Texas Workforce Commission. Civilian labor force rose by 1,000 to 115,662. Midland's labor market continued to exhibit impressive strength even as the unemployment rate was nudged upward by seasonal trends, such as schools being closed for the summer. The Texas Workforce Commission said Friday its Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area, MSA, which includes Midland and Martin counties, had an unemployment rate of 2.9% in July, up from 2.6% in June, but the same as July 2022. Midland continued to report the lowest unemployment in the state, followed by Amarillo at 3.6%. Odessa, Austin Round Rock, and College Station Bryan were third at 3.8%. percent each. Quote, "If you don't think we're at full employment, look again," end quote, said Willie Taylor, chief executive officer of the commission's Workforce Solutions Permian Basin, which oversees 17 West Texas counties. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram by telephone, Taylor said all industrial sectors showed employment growth over the last year, with the exception of the information sector, which was unchanged. Quote, "We're growing the numbers, but not just fast enough for the companies that are coming in," end quote, he said, adding that the labor market is very competitive and is the reason the area is seeing shortages of teachers, medical professionals, law enforcement, CDL drivers, and more. Taylor lauded efforts to diversify the regional economy. Quote, "But we still live and die by mining, logging, and construction," end quote, which includes oil and gas operations. Employment in that sector is almost four times the next largest, leisure and hospitality. Wages in mining, logging, and construction totaled $1.336 billion in the first quarter of the year. He said he was pleased to see growth in enrollment in area schools as well as at community colleges and even University of Texas Permian Basin, calling them the pipelines for future workforce. One concern, Taylor said, is the continued high demand for child care as more women enter the workforce and young families move to the area for work. It is an issue what won't be easy to address or be solved quickly, he said. Quote, overall, the numbers are very impressive for the region. We're still seeing growth. In fact, I think the civilian labor force is at pre-COVID levels and the highest they've ever been, end quote. Anyone who wants to come to the area can find work, he said. Quote, everyone knows where the Permian Basin is, end quote, he said. The civilian labor force rose by 1,000 to 115,662 in July from 114,625 in June, and is well above the 109,467 reported last July. The number of employed Midlanders also rose to 112,361 from 111,661 in June, and from 106,246 the previous July. The number of unemployed Midlanders also rose to 3,301 from 2,964 in June and is barely above the 3,221 unemployed last year. Midland lost 100 total non-farm jobs as the count dipped to 120,600 from 120,700 in June. The decline was led by the mining, logging, and construction sector, which lost 300 jobs, followed by government, which lost 200 jobs. Those offset job gains in the manufacturing sector, trade, transportation, and utilities sector, professional and business services sector, and private education and health services, which added 100 jobs each. For the 12 months from July 2022 to July 2023, Midland added 7,000 jobs for a growth rate of 6.3%. Gains were led by the mining, logging, and construction sector with 4,000 new jobs. Trade, transportation, and utilities added 800 jobs, followed by trade, transportation, and utilities with 500 new jobs. The professional and business services sector, the private education and health services sector, and the leisure and hospitality sector each added 400 jobs over the year. The other services sector added 300 jobs, the government sector 200 jobs, and financial activities grew by 100 jobs. Statewide, unemployment held at 4.1% in July. The state reported total non-farm employment grew by 26,300 to 13,969,100 jobs, the 22nd consecutive month of record highs and 29th month of growth. Texas has added 441,700 jobs since July 2022, leading the nation in the number of jobs added. The number of employed Texans also reached a record, 14,464,700, after 34,800 joined the workforce during July. While Midland reported the lowest unemployment statewide, the highest was in McAllen-Edinburg Mission at 7%. Midland unemployment, January 2023, 2.7%, January 2022, 3.9%, February 2023, 3.0%, February 2022, 3.6%, March 2023, 2.6%, March 2022, 3.1%, April 2023, 2.3%, April 2022, 2.8%. May 2023, 2.6%, May 2022, 2.8%, June 2023, 2.6%, June 2022, 3.2%, July 2023, 2.9%, July 2022, 2.9%. Preliminary numbers for July with June numbers in parentheses. Midland, 2.9, 2.6, Amarillo, 3.6, 3.3, Austin, Round Rock, 3.8, 3.5, College Station, Bryan, 3.8, 3.6, Odessa, 3.8, 3.4, Abilene, 4.0, 3.8, Fort Worth, Arlington, 4.1, 3.8. Lubbock, 4.1, 3.7. San Angelo, 4.1, 4.1. Dallas, Plano, Irving, 4.2, 3.9. San Antonio, New Braunfels, 4.2, 3.8. Waco, 4.2, 4.0. Sherman, Denison, 4.3, 4.0. Texarkana, 4.3, 4.0. Tyler, 4.3, 3.8. Wichita Falls, 4.5, 4.1. Laredo, 4.6, 4.1. Victoria, 4.6, 4.3. Longview, 4.7, 4.5. Houston, The Woodlands. Sugarland, 4.8, 4.5. Corpus Christi, 5.0, 4.6. Killeen Temple, 5.0, 4.6. El Paso, 5.1, 4.5. Brownsville, Harlingen, 6.2, 5.9. Beaumont, Port Arthur, 6.8, 6.4. McAllen, Edinburgh, Mission, 7.0, 6.7. Pro Bond PAC runs Modern Century Schools. Energize Midland Schools PAC will promote passage of $1.415 billion school bond. A political action committee to promote the passage of a $1.415 billion school bond referendum has been formed. Energize Midland Schools is the PAC organized for the purpose of raising and spending money to help the passage of the first school bond in 11 years. Director Stan Van Hooser and Tina Ortiz came by the Reporter Telegram on Friday to talk about the PAC, its purpose, and why passage of the bond referendum was so important to Midland. Van Hooser is a graduate of Lee High School, now Legacy High School, and a former teacher and principal there. Ortiz is a former teacher and department chair of more than 30 years at Lee Freshman, now Legacy Freshman, and Lee High School. Quote, "Our schools just need to come into the modern century, the 21st century, and this bond gives us an opportunity to do that," end quote, said Van Hooser, who currently works as the director of operations at the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Permian Basin. Quote, "Will it fix all our problems? No, but it is a good start for our school system," end quote. This week, district leaders voted to take the recommendation of the Midland ISD Bond Planning Committee and create one proposition that will address the building of two new high schools, $984.2 million, middle school improvements, $119 million, safety, security, and accessibility, $50.4 million, improvement to current facilities / deferred maintenance, $207.5 million, a new elementary school in Northeast Midland, $53.3 million. Using a conservative interest rate, the total principal and interest over a 30-year period is $2.29 billion, according to the district. A successful bond could mean an increase in the tax rate of 21.75 cents per $100,000 valuation compared to what it would be without the increase, according to Midland ISD. The election will take place November 7th. Early voting is set to begin October 23rd. Why the bond is needed. Energize Midland Schools officials stated Midland ISD is feeling the impact of greater school population, which topped 28,000 this week, up from 26,427 in 2021-22 and 27,821 in 2022-23. Midland ISD officials have projected an enrollment of 28,356 this year and 32,146 by 2033. Quote, "Our facilities are not designed or are capable of handling that many students without becoming portable cities," end quote, Van Hooser said. Abel Junior High was the most recent Midland ISD junior high construction, 1993, and Legacy High School is 62 years old, according to MISD. Van Hooser and Ortiz talked about the two high schools bringing freshman students onto main high school campuses, offering them full access to the high school curriculum. Officials also said the long-sought-after grade reconfiguration would put sixth graders onto, quote, middle school, end quote, campuses, of which there would be six if a bond passes, and open up elementary schools to house more pre-K students, possibly as many as 1,500 combined on every elementary school campus across Midland. quote, early intervention is a key to academic success, end quote, Van Hooser said. Quote, we need to reach those kids as young as possible, and currently in town there are not enough seats for our pre-K kids to attend, end quote. What new facilities would mean? Ortez said newer facilities mean communication improves, technology improves, students are better served in a 21st century classroom, and teachers would be more likely to stay with the district. Ortez said currently high schools and freshman campuses have issues with not enough outlets or Wi-Fi, which pose problems during everyday teaching opportunities and computerized state testing sessions. Quote, what are you going to do with two outlets and no Wi-Fi? End quote, Ortez said. Quote, the kids just walking in with new everything just would be amazing to them. I mean, they would feel like someone cared, end quote. Ortez also stated that a, quote, whole different quality of teachers, end quote, would become available to Midland ISD instead of looking elsewhere where facilities are better. She mentioned that towns across the Permian Basin have or are in the midst of building projects. In May, Andrews, Pecos, Barstow, Toya, Cahoma, Wink, Loving, and Crane ISDs combined to have more than $740 million in bonds passed. Quote, if they had better facilities, the kids would do better, end quote, Ortez said. Quote, you'd get better quality teachers. They probably stay a little longer than a year or two. Everything would just be better, end quote. Van Hooser added that Midland High and Legacy were, quote, designed to teach kids in the 20th century, end quote, not the more collaborative setting required in the 21st century. Quote, so our secondary schools, they have served the purpose that they were built for, end quote, Van Hooser said. Quote, but that purpose has exceeded their ability to keep kids growing, end quote. Time for Midland to become a city. Ortez referenced a comment from District 6 Representative Sarah Burleson at a recent meeting. Quote, she said Midland used to be a town when we were a little town, end quote, Ortez said. Quote, and now we're a city, and we need to act like a city. We need to have those bigger high schools and be like we're a city, end quote. Van Hooser said that the PAC will attempt to reach out specifically to adults with students in schools and take advantage of the younger Midland population. He said, quote, traditionally, that is not our largest voting block, but we need that 20 to 50-year-old person out at the polls voting for these schools, because it's going to affect them, end quote. Energized Midland Schools also will attempt to reach out to the Hispanic population, which makes up a vast majority of Midland ISD student population. They said those interested in Energized Midland Schools can email officials at energizedmidlandschools@gmail.com and visit, and that the organization's website, energizedmidlandschools.com, should be up next week. Quote, we want people to look at the facts, look at the bond, and don't just listen to what people are saying, end quote, Van Hooser said. Quote, we want people to do their research. We want them to be informed about what the bond is offering, what effect that is going to have on the community in Midland, and what positive effects that's going to have, end quote. What's up with Midland? The Blue Door, Mahjong 101, 102, Wednesday. The Destination, the Chad Cook Band, Saturday. Bring Your Own Blues Open Jam, August 24th. Friday Night Live, the Rick Carr Band, August 25th. State Line Band, August 26th. Earth, Body, and Soul. Walk-in Tara Reading every Tuesday. Walk-in Reiki Energy Clearing every Wednesday. Vendor Saturday. Automatic Writing with Your Guides, August 24th. Horseshoe, Midland County Fair, August 24th through 27th. Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Midland Farmers Market every Saturday. Sci Friday, MST 3K, the movie, August 25th. Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia every Tuesday. Tall City Beer Run every Thursday. The Venue at Live Oak, Tejas Brothers, August 24th. The State Line Band, / Chris DeAnda, August 31st. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, Alice Cooper, Saturday. John Waite with John Ford Coley, August 24th. Kat Timpf, August 26th. Opinion. Will bond discussion turn into COVID debate? It is both true that $1.4 billion is a lot of money and that Midland ISD's facilities are old. This week was eventful for Midland. The highlight, of course, was that the Midland ISD Board of the Trustees greenlighted a $1.4 billion referendum for November 7th. It has been and will continue to be the talk of the city. Today's opus is to ask that the talk of the city be civilized and respectful of others. I can't help but think that the community is headed toward a discussion that turns into the hard-hitting and rather disgusting mask mandate debate we had during the COVID pandemic. During that period, there were people for and against the mandate. That was to be expected, but some of the most vocal went above and beyond to make it personal. In retrospect, neither side was 100% right, and neither side was without fault in raising the temperature of the debate in Midland. And just like that episode, people will not hesitate to turn their arrows toward the paper. One doctor mentioned often how the paper wouldn't provide equal coverage. He forgot to mention the multiple offerings over months and months to provide space for any opinion articles he wanted to submit. We received zero. On the bond front, the paper will be a perfect foil for some. This week, a board member sent me a text calling me divisive and questioning my integrity as the push for a bond ramps up. Her text was no different than a message sent to me from a PAC co-chair in 2019 leading up to that bond campaign. I recall others online stating, quote, Stuart Doreen has never seen a bond he's never liked, end quote. It is what we deal with here, and yes, there is 81 days between August 19th and November 7th. The Reporter Telegram and yours truly will always be fair game, especially when the debate gets increasingly emotional. But your neighborhood and fellow community member deserve better, because quite frankly, there are arguments for and against. No side is 100% correct, and those passionate for the passage or the defeat of the largest bond in Midland history should remember that. It is both true that $1.4 billion is a lot of money and that Midland's facilities are old. It is both true that people are right to want to invest in education and are right to want to keep their money. It is both true that the tax rate, depending on board action later this year, will not increase because of the bond, and that board members will take measures to prevent the tax rate from dropping to where it could because of compression and anticipated homestead exemption increases. It is both true that leadership still has to prove itself in some areas, and there have been improvements in others. It is both true that previous bonds have been flawed and that Midlanders should have done better in passing regular bond referendums to improve school district facilities. Lastly, it is both true that this is not a perfect bond and there are things worth considering in this plan. There will be people on both sides who will go online looking to debate. There is nothing wrong with that, but please, for the good of Midland, let's remember that when the sun comes up on November 8th, we have to move forward as a community. The Reporter Telegram will give both sides the opportunity to say what they have to say in the form of op-eds, letters to the editor, and reports leading up to election. We ask those who participate to keep it about the facts and not make this personal. We ask that those who go to our Facebook page to do the same. For those who go elsewhere, go where you think you need to, roll the dice and take your chances. It might become a scary world, one reminiscent of the pandemic when it wasn't always about the facts and the right to respect one's preference. It was about calling people murderers and insisting on thrusting your values on others to win the argument. Because we don't have conversations anymore, we attempt to win arguments. NWS, sunny and hot through the weekend. Triple-digit high temperatures are expected to linger in Midland through the weekend, according to the National Weather Service. The NWS reported Friday that high temperatures will remain at or above the century mark, but low temperatures could fall into the lower 70s, which could be a change of pace. A longer-term forecast also calls for a high temperature falling into the lower 90s by Wednesday of next week. There also is a chance of showers on Tuesday and Wednesday. The high temperature on Friday reached 103 degrees, according to the NWS. It was the 49th 100-degree day in 2023. Friday's report, Friday's high 103 degrees, typical high for August 18th, 95 degrees. Friday's low 80 degrees, typical low for August 18th, 72 degrees. Previous record high for August 18th, 106 degrees, set in 2019. Last 3 days, Wednesday, 101 degrees, Thursday, 105 degrees, Friday, 103 degrees. Next 3 days, Saturday, 102 degrees, Sunday, 100 degrees, Monday, 100 degrees. Weather by the numbers, most 100-degree days, total in Midland. 2011, 65, 1964, 52, 1998, 51, 2023, 49, 2020, 47, 1977, 43. 100-degree days by month in Midland. June, 17, July 17, August 15. Life Tributes. Thomas and Shirlene Garber. Thomas Garber, 96, and Shirlene Garber, 86, both of Midland, have passed away. Thomas passed away March 8, 2023, and Shirlene passed away May 20, 2023. They will be laid to rest together. The family will hold a private service on a later date. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Vivian Leonard Saunders Chandler. Vivian Leonard Saunders Chandler of Stanton, Texas, passed away August 17, 2023. The family will receive friends at Gilbreth Funeral Home Tuesday, August 22, 2023, from 5 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. A graveside service will be held on Wednesday, August 23, 2023, at 10 o'clock a.m. at Evergreen Cemetery Chapel in Stanton. Arrangements are under the direction of Gilbreth Funeral Home of Stanton. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Life Tributes. Sharon Reed Yeager. Sharon Reed Yeager, 87, of Midland, Texas, passed away peacefully on the afternoon of July 10, 2023, after a short illness. Sharon was born in Newkirk, Oklahoma, to Marguerite and David Terry on July 2, 1936. Sharon is preceded in death by her mother, Marguerite Alice Emma Watson, her father, William David Terry, her brother, Jean O. Terry, her beloved husband, G. Goss Yeager, and her beautiful and funny eldest daughter, Elizabeth R. Yeager. She is survived by her youngest daughter, Marion G. Yeager, of Austin, Texas. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. on Saturday, August 26th, at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given to Holy Trinity or a charity of your choice. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.cookwaldenforstokes.com for the Yeager family. Betty Alderman, Midland. Betty Alderman, 1934 to 2023, lived a life of joy and faith even with Alzheimer's disease. She was preceded in death by her parents, two brothers, her husband, a son, and a granddaughter. She is survived by two sons, a daughter-in-law, two daughters, two sons-in-laws, eight grandchildren, and four great-grandchildren. No evening visitation is scheduled. Services are scheduled for Saturday, August 19, 2023. A graveside service will be at 1 o'clock p.m., Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas. The memorial service will be at 3 o'clock p.m., Colonial Bible Church, 6112 North Highway 349, North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas. Shirley Sue Fox. Shirley Sue Fox, 84, of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, August 16, 2023. The family will receive friends from 5 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. Monday, August 21, 2023, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Graveside services will be at 9 o'clock a.m. Tuesday, August 22, 2023, at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Shirley was born on September 24, 1938, in Denton, Texas, to Homer and Urena Jones. Shirley is survived by her son, Marshall Fox, and wife, Jolie, daughter, Christy Fox, grandchildren, Brandon Fox, Russell Henderson, and Holly Fox, sister, Fleda Lopshire, many nieces and nephews. She is preceded in death by her twins, Craig and Suzanne Fox, parents, Homer and Urena Jones, brothers Billy Dean Jones and Clyde Jones, sisters Joanne Gentry and Helen Churchwell. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Hospice of Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Natalie Joyce Lang Bell. Natalie Joyce Lang Bell passed August 12, 2023. She was born in Brenham, Texas, on July 8, 1934, to Ella Marie and Louise Andrew Lang. Natalie was preceded in death by her husband of 36 years, William Bell, her parents, Ella and Louise Lang, her sister and brother-in-law, Irene and Stubbs Brown Jr., her sister, Dorothy Sibel, and her nephews, James Brown and Nathan Sibel. She is survived by daughter and son-in-law, Cynthia Ann and William Michael Ford of Midland, Texas, her three grandchildren, Kelly and her husband, Harrison Reese of Midland, Texas, Haley and her husband, Christopher Blomqvist of Midland, Texas, Cameron and his wife, Katie Ford of Midland, Texas, her eight great-grandchildren, Robert, Francis, and Maggie Kate Reese, Ford, Mary Emma, and William Blomqvist, Annie and Jack Ford, her sister and brother-in-law, Margie and David Roundtree, of Houston, Texas, her brother and sister-in-law, David and Sandra Lang, of Brenham, Texas, her brother-in-law, Lonnie Sibel Jr., of Houston, Texas, and her numerous nieces and nephews. A memorial service will be held Wednesday, September 13, 2023, at the Zion Lutheran Church at 10 o'clock a.m., in lieu of flowers, the family has requested a donation be sent in her memory to the Zion Lutheran Church at 1800 FM 2679, Brenham, Texas, 77833. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Madison Lukens, Midland. Madison Carrie Mladenka Lukens was released from illness and ascended to her eternal form on August 13, 2023, after a 19-month battle with brain cancer. Madison was the beloved daughter of Mark and Cindy Mladenka, born on September 16, 1988. Madison is preceded in death by her older sister, Jennifer Mladenka, her maternal grandparents, Audra and Jackie Carey, her paternal grandparents, Albin, Joe, and Mary Ann Mladenka. She is survived and grieved by her husband, Zach, her parents, Mark and Cindy Mladenka, her younger brother, Michael, and his wife, Samantha, her nieces, Logan, Allie, and Margot, and numerous aunts, uncles, cousins, in-laws, friends, and dogs. On August 31st, 2023, a public celebration of life service will be held at First Methodist Church in Midland, Texas at 10 a.m. Madison loved sunflowers and color, so we encourage you to forego black and dark attire and wear something joyful to celebrate Madison's life. Midland man gets 50 years for drug possession. Midland County District Attorney Laura Nodolf announced that a 32-year-old Midland man was sentenced Thursday to 50 years in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice by a Midland County jury. Jesse James Johnson, Jr., 32, was charged with possession of a controlled substance in penalty group 1 in an amount more than 4 grams, but less than 200 grams. After hearing evidence, the jury deliberated for an hour and a half before finding Johnson guilty of the offense on Wednesday morning. The defendant chose to have the same jury decide his punishment. After hearing additional evidence on punishment, the jury assessed a sentence of 50 years in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice on Thursday morning. Quote, the evidence presented in the case showed that on August 19, 2022, officers with the Midland Police Department located 3 bags of crack cocaine inside a closed compartment during a search of a vehicle operated by Johnson, end quote, the Midland County District Attorney's Office reported. Quote, the officers also found on Johnson's person a total of $2,335 in cash, separated in denominations suggesting the sale of illegal drugs. During the punishment phase of the trial, the evidence showed that Johnson had multiple prior felony convictions and had been to prison multiple times, and was in fact on parole for a past offense at the time of his arrest, a news report stated. Because of Johnson's prior prison sentences, his range of possible punishments was from 25 years up to life in prison. Under the law, Johnson will serve at least one quarter of his sentence before he is eligible to be considered for parole. Eligibility for parole does not guarantee that parole will be granted. The case was tried by Assistant District Attorney Candace McHugh and Paola Lujan. The trial was held in the 385th District Court and presided over by Judge Leah G. Robertson. Midland International reports record number of passengers. Airlines are taking off from Midland International Airport with a record number of passengers this summer. The city of Midland reported that 61,348 people boarded airlines at Midland International during the month of July. That is a record for the month and more than 1,800 passengers higher than 2022. The total also dwarfs passenger numbers from 2019, 58,216, 2018, 52,292, and is a 47.8% increase compared to 2010. Southwest Airlines dominated the other two airlines operating at Midland International. Southwest accounted for 51.5% of the passengers boarding airlines during the record July. That percentage is right in line with the 51.7% share of the passengers during the entire fiscal year. American Eagle was second with 25.2% of the passengers. The increased activity at Midland International also is having an impact with other metrics, including parking revenues. The $697,603 collected in July was an 18.6% increase compared to July 2022. Year-to-date, Midland International has collected $5.924 million in parking revenue. Midland International Airport Report. July 2023 boardings, 61,348. July 2022 boardings, 59,545. Percentage change 3.0, year-to-date total 546,447, percentage change 10.2. Fuel sales in gallons, July 2023, 641,975, July 2022, 703,501, percentage change negative 8.7, year-to-date total, 6,323,774. Percentage change, 10.4. Parking revenue, July 2023, $697,603. July 2022, $588,112. Percentage change, 18.6. Year-to-date total, $5.924 million. Percentage change, 20.2. Notable July boarding numbers, 2023, 61,348, 2022, 59,545, 2019, 58,216, 2018, 52,292, 2017, 45,023, 2010, 41,504. Biz Beat. United Way fundraiser highlights business calendar. The 8th Annual United Way of Midland Power of the Purse fundraiser at the Bush Convention Center will feature 8 rounds of bingo with multiple opportunities to win high-end designer bags and shop from locally owned businesses. Power of the Purse also will include dinner and dessert. All net proceeds from the October 26th fundraiser go directly to United Way of Midland's innovative grants, according to the Midland Chamber website. Business calendar, Tuesday, PBS HRM HR Conference and Expo, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Bush Convention Center. August 28th, Child of Purpose Daycare Grand Opening, 11:30 to noon. August 28th, First Bank and Trust Mixer, 5 to 7 p.m., 1111 West Wall Street. October 11th through 12th, 2023, WTX Women, Professional Women's Symposium. October 26th, Power of the Purse Fundraiser, 6 to 8:30 p.m., Bush Convention Center. Baker Hughes, drilling decline reaches 6 weeks. Drilling activity continues to fall, sinking to 17-month lows even as crude prices recover some of the year's losses. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1940 fell for a 6th consecutive week, plunging 12 rigs to 642, the lowest level since February 2022. It's also 120 rigs, or 15.7%, below the 762 Baker Hughes recorded last year. The number of rigs seeking crude oil dropped 5 to 520, the lowest since March 2020, and 81 fewer than the 601 rigs reported a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas fell 6 rigs to 117, the lowest since February 2022, and down 42 rigs from the 159 rigs seeing natural gas last year. Texas rig count stabilized, holding at 312 rigs for a second week. Still down 57 rigs from the 369 Baker Hughes said were at work throughout the state last year. New Mexico fell one rig to 112, Louisiana 3, North Dakota 2, Ohio 2, Oklahoma 2, West Virginia 3, and Wyoming 1 joined New Mexico as major producing states seeing declines. Pennsylvania, too, was the only state to see an increase. Like Texas, the Permian rig count was unchanged, holding at 327 a second week and down 18 rigs from the 345 at work across the region a year ago. Lee County, New Mexico, remained the most active county in the Permian, with 65 rigs, up one for the week. Eddy County, New Mexico, followed with 45 rigs, down two. Martin County lost rigs for a second week, falling two rigs to 38. Midland County's losing streak stretched to 3 weeks, as the county lost two rigs, falling to 28 rigs. Reeves County reported 26 rigs, up one for the week. Loving County added one rig for 23. Ward County was unchanged at 18 rigs, while Glasscock County reported 12 rigs, up two for the week. Reagan County was up one rig for 11 at work within county lines. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software, as a solution firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count had a high point of 701 during the week ended August 16th, falling by six rigs from the previous week's peak. The count is down 4%, or 30 rigs, from a month ago, and down 19% year over year. The only major basin that increased activity last week was the Permian, with a three-rig gain to 310, but is still down 12 rigs month over month. The Anadarko Basin lost four rigs to reach 47. The DJ and Williston basins were both down by one rig at 16 and 36. Both Appalachia and the Gulf Coast were flat at 42 and 74 rigs. Three I-20 counties make up 35.5% of oil produced. Midland, Martin, and Howard counties were the top three producing counties in the state in April, according to the Railroad Commission of Texas, and the three combined to produce 38.732 million barrels, according to preliminary production information from the RRC. That was 35.5% of the preliminary production total statewide. The RRC also reported Midland County alone accounted for 16.869 million barrels, or 15.4% of the statewide total in April. Midland and Martin counties combined for 31.388 million barrels, or 28.7%, more than a quarter of the preliminary production statewide. Nine counties in the Permian Basin were among the 10 highest producing counties and made up 62.8% of the 108.89 million barrels of oil produced statewide. The Railroad Commission preliminary reported 107.196 million barrels in April 2022. The updated total that month was 126.278 million barrels. Reeves County again was first with 76.975 billion cubic feet of natural gas produced in April. Webb County was a close second with 76.941 billion, and Midland County was third with 63.237 billion. The RRC reported six Permian Basin counties in the top 10 statewide. Statewide, the RRC showed preliminary production of 876.531 billion cubic feet of natural gas produced in April. In April 2022, the preliminary production of gas was 813.134 billion cubic feet. The updated total was 960.587 billion cubic feet. April 2023, Texas' top 10 crude oil producing counties ranked by preliminary production. County barrels: Midland, 16,869,300. Martin, 14,518,859. Howard, 7,344,407. Upton, 7,328,355. Loving, 5,934,345. Carnes, 5,824,509. Glasscock, 4,649,049. Reeves, 4,267,041. Reagan, 3,844,357. Andrews, 3,771,841. April 2023, Texas top 10 total gas, Gaswell, Gas, and Casinghead, producing counties, ranked by preliminary production. County total gas, MCF. Reeves, 76,975,609. Webb, 76,941,852. Midland, 63,237,725. Panola, 50,923,886. Loving, 43,288,066. Martin, 37,911,194. Culberson, 37,577,047. Upton, 32,545,000. Harrison, 30,099,524. Reagan, 30,014,266. April 2023, Texas top 10 total condensate producing counties ranked by preliminary production. County condensate BBLS. Reeves, 5,660,463. Loving, 4,388,979. Culberson, 3,203,419. Carnes, 1,218,667. DeWitt, 1,181,991. Webb, 1,095,116. Dimmitt, 778,172. Live Oak, 534,163. McMullen, 294,036. LaSalle, 276,552. Source, Texas Railroad Commission.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Odessa American for August 20th, 2023. Sweltering temperature brings misery to large portion of central U.S., setting some heat records. By Juan Lozano, The Associated Press. Houston. Sweltering temperatures lingered Sunday in a large swath of the central U.S., causing misery from the Gulf of Mexico to the Great Lakes. Record high temperatures were recorded in Texas and other states. People were told to chug extra water while mowing lawns or exercising outdoors, and to check on neighbors to ensure air conditioning is available. These high temperatures can impact our friends, families, and neighbors who may live alone, especially if they limit their use of air conditioning, Sarah Russell, commissioner for the St. Louis Emergency Management Agency, said in a statement. We urge everyone to stop and visit loved ones to ensure they are healthy and well during this extreme heat. The Dallas-Fort Worth area was expected to reach 110 degrees Sunday after hitting 108 Saturday, said Sarah Barnes, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. The record high for those dates was 107 degrees set in 2011. Barnes said the area is not cooling off enough at night. That's really going to contribute to an increased risk of heat-related illnesses, Barnes said Sunday. That's the main concern when it comes to people and the heat. The heat wave causing misery this weekend is just the latest to punish the U.S. this year. Scientists have long warned that climate change, driven by the burning of fossil fuels, by deforestation, and by certain agricultural practices, will lead to more and prolonged bouts of extreme weather, including hotter temperatures. The entire globe has simmered to record heat both in June and July, and if that's not enough, smoke from wildfires, floods, and droughts have caused problems globally. The National Weather Service set an excessive heat warning Sunday for parts of Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, Iowa, and Nebraska. Heat advisories or watches were also in place in parts of Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and South Dakota. Tourism in New Orleans often slows during the peak of summer heat, and that's happening as temperatures approach 100 degrees. Nola Po'boys is closing 2 days a week for now, said Lucas McQueen, one of the restaurant chefs. I can't wait to be complaining about being cold, McQueen told WWL-TV. The temperature reached a record high for the date of 104 degrees Saturday in Jackson, Mississippi, as people walked between indoor and outdoor events at the Mississippi Book Festival. Volunteers distributed chilled water and people used handheld fans while chatting with authors and shopping for books at large tents outside the state capitol building. Houston was expected on Sunday to add to its ongoing streak of high temperatures at or above 100 degrees through Saturday. The high temperature in Houston has been at least 100 degrees for 21 days. The high on Sunday was expected to be around 106 degrees. The stifling heat in Texas overwhelmed people taking part in orientation for new students at Prairie View A&M University, 48 miles northwest of Houston. University officials said they were reviewing operations after 38 students were hospitalized Friday night after suffering heat-related illnesses, including dehydration. One student was taken by helicopter to a hospital in nearby College Station, while 37 were taken in ambulances to other facilities, Waller County EMS Chief Rhonda Getchman told KBTX. It's very easy to overheat quickly in this Texas heat. We highly encourage everyone to stay indoors as much as possible, Getchman said. Much of Iowa is expected to see high temperatures in the upper 90s Sunday and Monday, followed by 3 days where the reading will likely top 100 degrees. The heat was worrisome for Sunday as thousands were expected for the final day of the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines. In a Facebook post, fair officials urged patrons to visit air-conditioned buildings, take regular breaks, and stay hydrated. Forecasters expected high temperatures to reach 99 degrees to 103 degrees through Friday in St. Louis, and the heat's only part of the problem. Excessive humidity will lead to a heat index of up to 115 degrees each day. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported that if the prediction holds, it will be the worst stretch of heat in St. Louis since August 2014, when temperatures rose to about 95 degrees for 7 straight days. Similar heat is expected all week in Little Rock, Arkansas, prompting the community to open several cooling centers for people who live on the streets or without air conditioning. Last month, the Phoenix area broiled under a record-setting 31 days of daily high temperatures of 110 degrees or above. The historic heat began blasting the region in June, stretching from Texas across New Mexico and Arizona and into California's desert. The previous record was 18 straight days in 1974. In July, the continental United States set a record for overnight warmth, providing little relief from daytime heat for people, animals, plants, and the electric grid, meteorologists said. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports just 600 to 700 heat deaths annually in the United States, but experts say the mishmash of ways that more than 3,000 counties calculate heat deaths means we don't really know how many people die in the U.S. each year. County holding tax rate hearing Tuesday by Odessa American, August 21, 2023. Ector County Commissioners will meet at 10 a.m. Tuesday at the County Annex to discuss, among other items, a new agricultural extension agent, the coming year's holiday and meeting schedule, and the proposed county tax rate. Ector County Judge Dustin Fawcett said the proposed tax rate is 0.35, which is the same as last year's rate at slightly above the no new revenue rate. A hearing on a tax rate is also scheduled during the meeting. He said the county will bring in more property tax revenue and that will help set the county up for long-term success. The health of our county government is important, Fawcett said on Monday. He added that the court has put together a heck of a budget, and that includes some items that will actually help the financial health of Ector County. Pay raises of 20% for the jailers at Ector County Detention Center and raises for the district attorney's office are strategic and much warranted, he said. Currently, the jail has to send some inmates out of the county due to being short-staffed. That is an expensive proposition for the county, and the ability to both hire and retain jailers will mean less money spent on shipping inmates to other places, he said. Countywide, most employees will see a 2% increase under the proposed rate, he added. He said law enforcement is getting between 5 and 12% for sheriff deputies. It depends on the years of experience, and our main goal is this budget in strategic raises to get law enforcement up to a correct amount. He said that some health department employees will get strategic raises as well, so the county does not have to use temp agencies, which, like sending inmates out of county, are more costly. The district attorney's office will also see strategic raises to address vacancies. Fawcett said recent state legislation will help Ector County with both the law enforcement and DA raises. A bill passed that will reimburse counties $500,000 for sheriff staff and $250,000 for DA staff, and that money becomes available January 1st, and we will apply for that guaranteed funding. Fawcett added, saying the funding is for rural counties under 300,000 people. Fawcett said a few more boxes need to be checked before the vote on the rate and the budget, and the tax rate won't be officially approved until the court's next meeting in 2 weeks on September the 5th. This is the proposed rate, and that doesn't mean after Tuesday's vote that it will be the tax rate, but no new revenue rate would not have set the county up for success. There are things that we need to do as a county. Fawcett said, pointing out the need for a new library, as well as countywide staffing issues and the courthouse issues. He said the county also is saving some funds, $2 million on the repairs on West 42nd Street after discussions with the CRMWD. We saved that just by talking with the CRMWD about the construction, he added. He said the new budget, if passed, will also fund a grant writing position to help the county seek grant funding for various projects. We are hoping for a grant writer with legal experience to get some money, and the position will pay for itself. During the Tuesday meeting, the county will also discuss a $500 donation from T-Mobile for the Ector County Health Department. This donation was given for the purchase of school supplies and backpacks during the back-to-school clinics. Discuss the commissioner's court schedule for the 2023-2024 term. Discuss the Ector County holiday schedule for the 2023-2024 term. Hold a tax rate public hearing. Discuss the 2023-2024 budget public hearing at 10 a.m. September 5th. Hold a public hearing, and consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding an application by Swift Air Solar, LLC, for a proposed designation as a reinvestment zone, an application for tax abatement under Chapter 312 of the Texas Tax Code, for use as solar power facilities by Swift Air Solar, LLC, located southeast of the city of Pinwell in Ector County, Texas, and to take any necessary action regarding approval of adoptions of resolutions and the tax abatement agreement with Swift Air Solar. Discuss architectural services agreement with JSA Architects to provide site master plan options for Kellis Turner Park in an amount not to exceed $12,000. Discuss a change order number 1 for the 42nd Street Project Colorado River Municipal Water District, or CRMWD, has confirmed that the concrete pad in the contract is no longer required, and some items on the contract will be done in-house by the Public Works Department. The adjustments in this charge order will reduce the total contract by $2,256,965. Discuss the Hudspeth County interlocal agreement to approve the inmate housing interlocal agreement between Ector County and Hudspeth County, including increases in the per diem rate per inmate. Discuss the Hillmont Estates streetlights agreement specifications with developer Ron Chestnut about streetlights and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.